407-278-5939. You can call in and get your questions answered. Don't forget, we have Sarah from All Star Vacation Homes here. If you have a question about a vacation home, I know someone in chat actually had a question about getting a code or something. Was that what he wanted?
Yeah, the code on the website, allstarvacationhomes.com, to see the house where the guys are staying this weekend is 1-8039-AEC-AE.
I just posted it in the chat for those of you out there, so you can definitely check it out. You know, well, I might have a little bit of a surprise later, I'm thinking maybe.
Oh, hey, Matt, send me the link too.
Yeah, I'll send you the link, no problem. But it's a fantastic property.
But this is our house now.
Yeah, that's right.
not leaving, are you?
We're not renting it out to anybody.
They've told me they're not leaving.
I have a feeling I'm going to get a visitor from the sheriff's office tomorrow, I think.
I wanted to mention also about the supermarket thing. The other option, of course, is that you could get a rental car or do a grocery stop with some of the car agencies that they have over there. And you definitely want to go to like a Publix. It's probably your best option. Gooding's stinks. And
they're just expensive.
Yeah, they're just too expensive. Mm-hmm. Winn-Dixie's a little limited. And we, you know, so you definitely want to keep that in mind. But we have another caller. It's Butch from Massachusetts. Welcome, Butch.
Hi, how are you?
Outstanding. What can we do for tonight, Butch?
Well, I just wanted to, my wife and I and our three kids had been to just get back from the world. We were there the week before Labor Day, last week of August. We were there for 10 days. And one thing Mike had mentioned on his blog that he puts out was the strollers, and we've actually spent a tremendous amount of time in my car. So, but strollers at the Magic Kingdom are actually all parks. My youngest is 6, and we always bring our own stroller. And we noticed this time, as Mike had mentioned, that strollers aren't being rented as much, I don't think, purely because of the cost. And we noticed too, because I have a friend, I should say my sister's a cast member there, and she, Disney puts out, we noticed they sell their own strollers now for like $40. And one thing that happens is a lot of people buy them and then just leave them behind. And they end up in the employee store, and then they resell them to the employees for $10. So it's just interesting how they get, you know, multiple hits on a piece of merchandise, you know, not only from the people that are visiting, but, you know, from their own cast members.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing my wife and I were wondering is we're planning our trip for next year already, and have any of you guys ever been to Vero Beach?
Annette, you've been there, haven't you?
Yes. It's been a couple of years, but been there.
And Newell, you've been there.
Yes, I was there last summer.
And, I mean, our kids are going to be 12, 9, and 7. So if you spend a couple days there at the end of a trip, it's not a big deal. Plenty for the kids to do there, correct?
Well, besides the beach and the pool.
Lots of stuff. Yeah. The beach, the pool, activities. Mm-hmm. They have lots of pool activities and games.
Yeah.
It's really, really a nice place.
Okay. And I guess the last thing I had a question about is we did the dining plan this time. And we were a little disappointed with the dining plan. Even we're DVC members. We own it at the Beach Club, and we own it at Animal Kingdom Lodge. But we did the dining plan this time in this past August. And, you know, some of the menus we felt, some of them don't have filet anymore. And, you know, we just seen some of the menus were a little bit degraded from what we were used to seeing. And, you know, we're debating should we do it again next year or not. Do you guys have any idea if they're going to change the dining plans or if some of the menus might go back to having filet or a better selection on some of the menus?
I mean,
some of the places we eat are at, you know, we eat at Germany or Le Cellier,
right.
Olivia. We pick some of the better restaurants so we can get value, but this time it seemed to be a little weak, I guess.
I would be interested in hearing what Scope has to say about this because, in my opinion, I think they've really dumbed down the menus around property. We had eaten at Nine Dragons that Lennon mentioned earlier in the show, which had just come out of rehab, and the menu was significantly had less options than Mike had been used to in terms of different and interesting options. But Scuba, what are your thoughts on Butch's question?
Well, I think that one of the things that I noticed last year, Butch, was that I started noticing this last year. A lot of the restaurants, the I don't want to say upper level, but most of the sit-down restaurants seem to be reducing the choices on the entrees, and they seem to be reducing the number, and there seems to be a core recipes. For instance, I think that you could probably go to any restaurant, maybe except for Nine Dragons, sorry, Mike, and find a pork chop. I don't know about everything else, but I think that there's going to be a reason for this, and I'm wondering if it has something to do with them shifting chefs around. Maybe if they stick with certain entrees, then they won't have to worry about when a master chef goes from one restaurant to the next, they're going to lose something. I think that one of the problems with this, though, is that all the restaurants are beginning to lose their uniqueness. For instance, tell me if this is what you do, Butch. Do you go to a certain restaurant down there because they have a certain entree that you cannot get anywhere else? For instance, Rose and Crown, you go there for bangers and mash because you can't get bangers and mash anywhere else. You go to, I don't know, I can't think of another restaurant. That's how bad it is. I mean, even Le Cellier, you used to go there for the strip steak, but you can get that strip steak anywhere else now, pretty much anywhere else. So I think that's a problem.
It is a problem. You know, it's funny. We ate at Olivia's one night, our first night there, and – you know, and we always, we stayed at the Old Key West when we were down there, and we always find that, you know, the restaurants, you know, it's not that it's our favorite, but the food quality is always decent and stuff. And like the next night or the night after, we end up going to the Turf Club over at Saratoga. The menu was almost identical.
Yeah,
and I mean, it was like, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's real. I think it's terrible, really. I think that what they do is they try to say, okay, how can we make good food for the least amount of money possible, and they take away those individualized options, like Mike was talking about the bangers and mash in the UK, because you know what the truth is to do something very unique to one particular restaurant costs a lot of money. Whereas if you have the same steak at three different restaurants, okay, now it costs very little because you can order a lot of it. You know, you get the discount in quantity, and they do it that way. And unfortunately, it's a trend that I really, and Mike was talking about, and I don't like it, and Mike agrees with me. I mean, it's just. It's unfortunate, really.
Well, I think there could be a reason why you've got these core recipes, because a lot of people may say, well, gee, they'll call up and they'll try to make an ADR for Le Cellier. And the cast member on the other end may say, well, gee, were you looking for a restaurant that has a special entree? And maybe the guest would say, well, you know, I always looked forward to the strip steak. And the cast member can say, well, you know, this entree is also offered at this particular restaurant. So maybe there's been some study going on that they have identified the most popular entrees and decided, hey, we need to have a lot of these entrees available in all these restaurants, so that if a guest calls up and talks about a specific entree, which is why they wanted to book this restaurant, we can push them over to another restaurant. Obviously, right. They want to fill those tables as much as possible. So that could be another reason why they're doing this.
Well, plus, I mean, the other thing, my wife kind of, we summarized that we felt that because it was free dining at the time, that they cheapened the menus because they were offering free food to people that stayed, you know, in some of the, you know, that got free dining. And we were taking advantage of the dining plan. It just doesn't seem, that's what we kind of figured, that, you know, they lessened the value of the menus because they were giving free dining out at that time of year.
And there's another thing that we started noticing last year, and they do that this year. I think that it happens. It's going to be coming up pretty soon. Len might know this. They're adding surcharges to certain meals at certain times of the
I heard you guys say that before on one of your other shows. You mentioned something about that.
I think right around Thanksgiving, I think, and Christmas.
Yeah, they did it July 4th also. I had to pay a surcharge. They took away Disney Dining Experience on July 4th as an example of that.
So not only are you getting – not only are you not getting the type of entrees you want, but you're paying an extra amount. And I don't know why. I mean, why should it be more expensive at Christmas time than in August or September? I just don't understand.
Yeah. Well, we love going the end of August. We find the crowds are a lot lighter. And you know, I like it hot down there anyways. It doesn't matter to me. I want it hot. When I'm there, I want it hot. So it's a great time of year for us to go. So
well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I had another question. We've never been able to get down to like Magic Meats or Mouse Fest or anything. And Mike, you might be able to answer this question for us. Is there anything in the Massachusetts area that goes on for Disney fanatics like my wife and I, and our kids, even though they might not admit it right now, but, we've been Disney fans since we've been together, so which is almost 20 years.
about a year ago, I was someone had sent me an email. They were trying to get some kind of a something like a Magic Meets kind of a thing going in New England,
right.
But I've never heard from them, so I don't know what came of that.
Right.
But if there's something, you know, if something comes up, you know, we'll be sure to announce it on the show. But it would take quite an effort to match what Fred does at Magic Meets, and obviously MouseFest is in a class all by itself.
Great.
So it would be really tough to equal what those two events have.
Well, we got a next caller. It's Leslie from Michigan. Welcome, Leslie.
Hello. I had a question about the vacation homes. And I wanted to know about possibly buying one, renting it out, and maybe making a small profit off that or anything. Is that possible?
Not our house.
Right. Noel says this one because he's not leaving. yes,
sorry.
We have a sister real estate company, All Star Vacation Home Realty, that you can go to allstarvacationhomerealty.com, or you can contact our office and get a hold of one of our agents. But we are a full-service property management company, All Star Vacation Homes. We actually manage these homes and rent them out on behalf of the individual owners. So we provide all of the property management services, setting up the utilities, paying the bills, and taking care really of everything on behalf of the owner.
Okay, and there's no profit or anything, I guess. Just how long is it before the owner would actually own the home and or something like that?
Just like with any real estate transaction, it's going to vary based on your down payment, on what you pay, on how you pay. Certainly some people come in through mortgage, some people come in as a cash buyer. So it all really depends on how that's set up for you as an individual buyer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of every month, I mean, All-Star takes care of paying the bills as well as bringing in the income from any of the rentals. And then at the end of the month, you're provided with a statement that would show either what you made or what the extra expenses were for the month, which is going to vary, again, just depending on the time of the year and the traffic that's coming into Orlando as well.
Well, what I've heard is that you buy a home, rent it out, and after so many years, you'd own a house outright, and when you're ready to move down there, you'd already own the home, and you'd be able to move right in. Is that what you guys would be able to do, or?
Again, it's going to vary based on every individual situation as far as how they've purchased the home and what type of,
right.
of payments they've set up as far as the mortgage plan goes. But it's certainly a possibility. In fact, a lot of folks, vacation homes really started booming here in Central Florida more than 20 years ago. And there are a lot of communities, most of them a little bit further out from Disney, that do have some full-time residents that live there for folks that did just that, that wanted to come down here and be able to vacation and wanted to rent it out in the meantime, and then did choose to come down and live in their home. Whether they own it outright at that point or not, again, it's going to vary based on each individual situation.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right.
Okay. We have another caller right behind that one. Oh, we lost that one. It's all right, because we're going to be actually going a little bit longer than 10 o'clock. Usually we go 8 to 10, but we had some technical problems in the beginning, so we want to make up for that lost time that we had over there, certainly. So definitely want. So 407-278-5939. Our next caller is Dennis in Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. How are you guys doing this evening?
Outstanding. Go Falcons.
They're 3-2 without Michael Vick. Can we stand it?
I know, but although I have my Michael Vick jersey, I'm hoping one day I'll be able to wear that again without getting thrown something at.
By the way, Len, I'm the one who sent you the excerpts from the Lou Mangiello trivia book.
Oh, thanks. Those are fabulous.
Who?
Dennis, read a few of these on the air if you have a chance.
Oh, boy. I don't have the ones I sent you, but I've got other excerpts from the book if you want to hear it.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, one of them is Lou Mangiello is actually a member of the Screen Actors Guild. He's got stunt work experience. He's done stunt work for Baby Herman and Lord Farquhar.
Very nice.
Good.
All right.
Nice.
Any questions for us, Dennis?
Yeah. This one's going to be a Mike Scopa one. On Primeval World.
Wait. We have to activate his heart. Hold on a second. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. On Primeval World, there's pictures and they're showing scientists showing you where you're going back in time. And there's four spots on the dial. First one says back in time. Second one says way back in time. Third one says older than dirt. And the fourth one is where you're going, but it doesn't say where it is. And I'm wondering what Mike was doing back then and if they have a name for that period.
We have a name for that period, but nobody can pronounce it. So I'll have to leave that to your imagination.
Does this like involve grunts and clicks? Or
exactly. It's before the advent of modern speech. And
It's before linguistics was invented.
That's what it was.
Glottal stops and alveolar fricatives and all that stuff.
I had that. Didn't I have that at the Italy Pavilion, the alveolar fricative? I think I had that. Yes. Yeah, that was good.
With the calamari sauce, I believe.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we call it.
Very nice. Any legitimate questions for us, Dennis? Although, if you have Scopa jokes, feel free to just keep going with that.
Just one other one. I've never actually been camping at Fort Wilderness. I was wondering if any of you have a firsthand or secondhand experience on what it's like to actually camp there.
Camping at Fort Wilderness. Len, did you camp there?
I've not camped there. I'm trying to talk myself into doing it. I've got all the camping equipment. It looks like it'd be a hoot.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, they have so many activities over there going on.
It looks like it'd be a lot of fun, yeah.
Maybe we could do a Destination Truth show, you know? We'll do a Destination Truth show at Fort Wilderness. That would be kind of cool.
I think it'd be fun, yeah.
Is there any good place to request to be close to the bus lines or the boat or anything like that?
Annette?
Yeah, all the loops are pretty well serviced. I would say, you want to stay at the top or the bottom end of the resort where you're either near one bus stop or the other.
I would say also that you want to be – the orange line I think is the best loop. The purple one is really long. I think the orange one is the most direct in terms of going – in terms of the least amount of stops. That's always good for you. So I would go with orange.
Oh, that works. All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks for calling.
No problem.
And,
thanks, Dennis.
407-278-5939. And we have a few more minutes. I just want to mention, of course, our sponsor, which is AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, Universal Studios, Orlando, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 101,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And, of course, we mentioned before Len had done an article for All Ears, and Scopa, you also appear fairly consistently in All Ears newsletter, and always interesting reads, especially Len's recent one about the statistics that you had put in there in the dining plan. Really nice job there, Len.
Thanks very much. Yeah, that does quite a bit of analysis. The thing we're working on now, we have a new statistician on board. We were looking at how far out you should book your hotel to get the best deal. So it's it varies actually, the period varies by the hotel that you're staying at. So for example, I'm just throwing out a name here, the Marriott World Center. If you want to stay there, your optimal booking period is between 14 and 21 days out. That's when they usually offer the lowest rates, but it varies by hotel. So one of the things we're working on right now is a chart that says, if you want to stay at this hotel, this is the best time period to book. This is the second best time period to book, and this is the worst time to book.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. Speaking of booking hotels, Annette, can you give us an update on booking hotels for MouseFest? I mean, we talked about it a little bit before, but I assume there's still availability places. Specifically like the special rate you guys have at the Beach Club or Yacht Club. I forget which one it is.
Yes, we still have availability at the Yacht Club for the dates of Mouse Fest for the 12th through the 14th. I can say it is getting a little sticky outside of those dates a little bit at some of the resorts that we have some other great rates at. But give us a chance to see if we can find those dates for you. I said it before, December 6th, December 10th. They can be some tough dates to find some rooms on property.
Good. That worked out real well. I mean, yeah, definitely people are trying to get you know, rooms for Mouse Fest. But we have our next call, and that's from Bill from Mississippi. Go ahead, Bill.
Bill. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Outstanding. What can we do for you tonight?
First of all, I want to tell you guys I've really enjoyed the past couple weeks.
Thank you.
Us
for
too.
For some reason, the show has been a lot funnier and a lot smoother.
Oh, thank you.
And we need to hang up on this caller now.
No, he's staying.
And here's my question. You guys still there?
Yes.
I'm in the military. I'm coming down in about 3 weeks, staying at Shades of Green. Through the military, we can get some super great deals on tickets. My question is, I can't get the no expiration deal on the ticket here in my base. They said I can add it on once I get down to Disney. My question is, once I get down there, will they charge me for the entire length of the ticket or for the days I haven't used?
I have an idea. If they turned around and said we would charge you for the original dates, why not just turn that in and say, okay, I want to buy a 5-day pass and then add the no expiration? Could you do that?
I guess I could. Here's my thought, though, is the difference between a 3-day and a 10-day is like $15 in the military. So I'm wondering, why not just go ahead and spend the extra money for the 10-day and see what the expiration, or, you know, are they going to charge me for the entire time or just what I don't use when I'm down there in a couple of weeks?
Well, Bill, let's back up a little bit. How much do you have left on the tickets that you have now?
So if I bought a 10-day, we're going to buy a 10-day. And we're only going to be down there for 5 days, so I'd have, you know, probably only going to go to the parks for 4 days. So 6 days left.
Okay. Why are you buying a 10-day, though?
Because we go down every year, and if I could buy a 10-day ticket for $15 more than a 3-day ticket, I was wondering, you know, would the no expiration option be worth it if I have to pay for all 10 days versus if I have to pay for 6 days?
Do you get a deal with annual passes?
I think the only deal with annual passes is a no sales tax.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be up to you in terms of, I think, it's going to be a personal call because, you know, you're paying up a lot now and perhaps being able to use that later. So it's up to you if you want to take the hit. Now, if you can take the hit now, obviously, one of the things we always say is, you know, for people who annual passes may not be the best option for or don't want to necessarily get one, is that, you know, if you can take the no expiration hit, you pay a lot now, but those tickets are good, you know, forever. Yeah. So you can, in the long run, it'll help you out because the price you pay now will definitely be cheaper than it'll be in a couple of years.
Right.
So if you can take that, go for it.
Okay. That's what my thought was. I just didn't know if they were going to charge me, you know, if in my trip I went, okay, add the no expiration option onto these tickets, if they were going to charge me for my unused portion or the entire time the tickets were bought for.
Yeah, it's an interesting
question.
That was
my only question.
Yeah, because the thing with that, I mean, that might be something you have to talk to someone who, because you're buying these through the military, right?
Right.
Yeah.
When I asked the military folks, they said, you're going to have to add the no expiration option down to Disney when you get down there and get services.
Well, I guess
that's a chunk. I'm checking right now to see. That's a lot. I mean, you'd be adding a lot to the price of that ticket, Bill. I mean, for the no expiration. On a 10-day, I'm thinking it's over $100.
That's a pretty significant.
I'll tell you in a second. It's.
While Mike's looking that up, where are you based out of, Bill?
Columbus, Mississippi.
Okay.
I just moved to Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And no expiration. Wow. And no expiration for a 10-day ticket, Bill, is now. You would not pay tax on this?
No.
Okay, so it's only another $200. So what's a 10-day is $252, although I think that's with tax. It's $252, and so it would be $452 for that 10-day pass with no expiration. So that's why I mentioned the annual pass. So the annual pass is probably about the same, although you do get benefits with the annual pass that you would not get with the 10-day.
That's true. The only thing is, I don't know if we come down there every year enough to make use of the annual pass.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks.
Well, the only thing about the annual pass is you do get dining discounts on it.
Right.
I'm just saying. Okay.
All right. Well.
Okay.
Hopefully, we helped you a little bit out there, Bill.
Hey, you guys, you actually helped me out a lot.
Oh, good.
And to tell you the truth, you guys helped me out a couple years ago. I was deployed in the desert, and I wrote you and said that I couldn't get your streaming iPod.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you guys wrote and said that check some other things, and I was able to get it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that worked out for you.
Thanks for all your work. You guys take it easy.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
And 407-278-5939. We're going to be online for probably about another 5 or 10 more minutes. And then because we had some technical problems earlier in the evening, we want to make it up, make sure everyone gets their 2 hours in for sure. And so if you have a question, feel free to call in right now. The phone lines are open for you to call in, 407-278-5939. And, of course, we do have you for that another 5 to 10 more minutes. We have Sarah from All Star Vacation Homes. And if you have a question about a vacation home, you can call it. Now's the best time to do it, really, because you're going to be able to get that answer right here, right now, and get an answer
right
for that.
Now.
Sorry, I was just singing some Van Halen there. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. You just break into Van Halen all the time, one.
That's me. Yeah, exactly.
You went to get pulled over by the cop. Well, you know, I just can't drive 55.
I can't.
Well, that's not Van Halen, but Sammy's, you know, it's Sammy. Come on.
Close enough.
407-278-5939. You know, we've been, as we mentioned earlier in the top of the show, we've been staying in a all-star vacation home here for the weekend. It's been a fantastic time. Tomorrow's really going to stink. We have to leave and we have to go. And I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I want to go to the pool.
I'm going to the pool.
I think after this, we're going to do the pool meet after this. 407-278-5939. And a lot of fun going on. Of course, people are in our chat room. You can join in at WDWToday.com. You go to the link right over there, right on the front page. You'll see the link for the chat room. Join us in there. And if you have your questions, now is the perfect time to get going because the phone lines are, in fact, open. And we have another caller. We get the call in. And it's Michelle from Ohio. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
Outstanding. Good. What can we do for you tonight?
Good. I had a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
We are going November 9th through the 15th, mm-hmm. and staying at Pop Century. Just wondering, because we're having a hard time getting into Chef Mickey's, what's the crowd going to be like that week and why it's busy?
Well, Chef Mickey's is normally pretty tough to get into.
Yeah.
Anyway, what time were you looking for Chef Mickey's?
Early morning.
Of what day?
Breakfast. Any day. We just want to get in.
From the 9th to the 15th of November.
Yes.
When you call Michelle, do you ask for any time, or do you just give them a block of time, like 7:30 to 8:30, or do you just say what? Do you have anything available? Do you give them a special block of time?
Yeah, we ask like as soon as you open up until like 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Hey, Michelle, let me ask you this: How many people in your party?
Six.
Have you tried? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit harder for that. Six is tough. The thing is, here's the one of the things that, and I don't think maybe this may be news to some other people. When you call in to make reservations, if you call in for a party of six, they have like all their tables are divvied up, so they have tables for two, tables for four, tables for six. So let's say you call in for a table of six, they don't have anything. They may actually have a table for eight available, but they don't give you that because they have it for
a table of eight.
Table of eight, and you're not a table of eight.
Table of eight to call.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's kind of weird like that because that's not how most normal restaurants do it. Yeah. So you might try. It's going to be a real outside chance because the larger the group, the harder it is. But you might try asking for a party of eight, even though you don't have eight people there. And you can just show up and say, well, it's only six tonight. Sorry.
Okay.
We'll see. But, I mean, it's worth a shot.
I don't see.
I'm sorry, but I was going to say, don't forget to, you know, say that you're willing to do two tables.
Oh, that's
what I was going to say.
Sometimes if you split
it
up, that'll help.
A table of four and a table of two. We did that in August.
Yeah, and Len, we just did that the other night at Nine Dragons. We had a party at nine or something, and we split up four and five.
Nine Dragons.
It wasn't bad, actually. Guys, the service was better than it was in the past.
What'd you have?
One of everything.
I forgot who I was talking to.
Michelle, did you have enough?
Yeah, the appetizer king, yeah.
Hey, Michelle, the crowds look absolutely fine your week, so it's probably just something to do with Chef Mickey's.
That's good. So we got, reservations at Sci-Fi, but they're splitting us up 3 and 3. Do you think they'll possibly put us together there?
That one's really tough. That's the one place where it's really tough to have more than when you split up. Big group, because the tables are set up. You're going to be sitting in one of the cars, and the cars are 2 people per row, and there could be up to 3 rows per car. And the problem with that is everyone's facing forward. So, like, the people in the first row are going to have a tough time talking to the people in the second or third row behind them, because you have to turn around physically to do it. It's kind of inconducive for conversation. It's one of the many reasons why I don't like the Sci-Fi. You got to take what you can get, right?
That's right. And then it was in the chat room, and I don't know if I talked to Scope about this or not. I asked, we're staying in the 50s building,
right,
if that was good, just to layer head shower for the parking lot. So that's not good.
Well, the 50s.
Did I go in the 70s?
The 50s, Len can verify this. The 50s is such a very difficult place to park because everything is bunched up. It's a hike, is right.
I
really avoid the 50s. I mean, the 70s, I love the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and people always criticize me for that. But if I go to the 90s, I know that I'm going to have that same parking spot every day. And sometimes you can get really close to your building. Whereas if you park in the 50s or even the 60s, a lot of people say, gee, I really want to be in the 60s because I'm close to the food court and everything. But it's a real hike if you park in the 60s and you're trying to, park close to your building. I really don't like the 50s or the 60s. I prefer 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Michelle, are you gonna be driving everywhere every day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, Mom and Dad, they've got a pop-up, and they're going to Fort Wilderness. So we're staying over there, but we're going to be going over there, like, every morning with them. So that's why, we're not going to be there that much.
In the overall scheme of things, you're going to probably be walking a couple hundred extra yards per day.
Yes.
That's not a whole lot. I mean, you're going to be walking 12 miles a day anyway. A little bit more is not going
to
kill you.
And it's better than it used to be. That's the sad part.
Yeah, really. That's true, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for calling in, Michelle. Did you have another question for us?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks. Bye.
And I think that's going to wrap it up for this live show of WDW Today. I wanted to thank, first of all, our sponsor, AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, Universal Studios Orlando, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all of the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World that will join with you over 101,000 other subscribers. Wow, I botched that up. And those other 101,000 subscribers will receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit allears.net today. Want to thank, of course, Sarah from All Star Vacation Homes. Thank you for not only coming on the show, but, of course, allowing us to soil one of your vacation homes. And hopefully when the hazmat team clears this all out, it'll be good for someone of other human beings to take. But really, we've had a great time over here. So really, thank you for everything.
Well, thank you, guys. It's been our pleasure.
Fumigate the place.
You have to fumigate the place. That's right. We're going to leave, and like the team that looks like from Monsters, Inc. is going to come in here to sweep it out. But it's been great. We had an awesome time over here, and I don't know how you're going to get Newell out of here tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, Sarah.
I don't think you are.
The jaws of life are going to be needed to get him out of here. And, of course, I want to thank, of course, Len, Scopa, and Newell, and Annette for joining us on this show again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Lady and gentlemen.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thanks, Wally.
And that's it for us today. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, visit the WDW Today website at www.wdwtoday.com. For Len Testum, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, the fabulous Annette Owens, and Sarah Moore, I am Matt Hochberg. We'll see you on the next live show.
That's the end of my show. Donk.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.